Rhonda, you're doing some work with pulses. What are pulses?
Well, it's interesting. So pulses are the dried seeds from members of the legume family. It includes dried beans primarily and dried peas and lentils as well as and chickpeas.
And what are the health benefits of those pulses?
Well, the health benefits are really numerous. They're a really interesting crop and a really interesting ingredient to use in foods. So according to Canada's Food Guide, they fall into the meat and alternatives group. So they contain some of the same nutrients that meat would contain, such as iron and protein. On the other hand, in other countries' food guides, they sometimes fall into the plants or into the vegetables group because they also contain a lot of fiber and a lot of the nutrients that are contained in vegetables. So they're really an all-over amazing food to include in our diets.
And do they have any impact on things like diabetes or heart health?
Mm-hmm. So those are the two that you just mentioned are the two most clear places that pulses have a positive impact in particular. So they are very well characterized to help reduce blood sugar levels, both in people who don't have diabetes as well as in people who do have diabetes. And so in both cases, the work that's been done looking at how pulses prevent the development of diabetes is among the strongest that we have from observational studies. But then there's a whole series of very well done controlled clinical trials looking at how well regular consumption of pulses helps to reduce blood glucose concentrations in people with diabetes as well. When it comes to heart health, there's again a quite substantial body of evidence that supports the idea that regular consumption of pulses helps to reduce primarily total cholesterol and LDL cholesterol.
Now, my understanding is that you're doing some research with pulses. Mm-hmm. What you're trying to do is take a good thing and make it even better. Is that correct?
Well, making it even better means that what we've been doing is looking to see how it is that pulses have health effects, particularly around heart health risk and reducing heart health. So we've been primarily focusing on the cholesterol story and making it into tasty and convenient foods that people would regularly eat and hopefully get these health effects that we've been just talking about, reduction of lipids and also reduction of glucose.
So what is your research project?
Well, it's a really cool research project, and it involves a number of investigators, some from food science, some from nutritional science, biochemistry, and then also a group who are interested in metabolomics. So our food science colleagues were the ones who made the foods that we used in our trial. So they came up with a series of soups and stews that had identical background foods, and then into those identical backgrounds of soups and stews, we added either beans or dried peas, or we used rice as our control food.
So what would be the point of that?
Well, the really important part of that is that, one, we wanted to make sure that the beans and peas were being delivered in the way that people eat them. So it's very practical and feasible for people to do. So we had people eating these foods 5 days a week for up to 6 weeks. So the second part is it's really important to have those consistent background foods, because when people enter into a feeding trial like the one we've just done, very often if they're getting foods from people involved with nutrition, their diets might improve anyways because now they're getting healthy items for consumption for lunch or dinner. So because of that, we want to make sure that whatever effects we see are those that are due to either to the beans or the peas, and then comparing them to a control food is, again, really important. So those were sort of the two innovations for our trial. The other interesting thing was the people who were involved in our trial, they had just mild hypercholesterolemia. So their lipids were elevated just to a point just below where they would be identified for drug therapy. So we think this is a really important group of patients or people, because their lipids aren't so high that they would immediately get a drug therapy from their physician. So they're probably in a position where if they got their blood tested, their doctor might say, you know, your lipids are a little bit up. Before we put you on drugs, why don't you try to be more active and to eat well and see whether or not we can bring it down? So we think that this, again, is a really important group of people because they're not already targeted for drug therapy. So those were all some of the kind of innovations for our study.
So have you had any results yet?
Yes, we have had some exciting results, as a matter of fact. So it was a very long study, and 180 people ultimately were involved. Another interesting, cool thing about our project was it involved not only a group here at the University of Alberta, but also a group at the University of Manitoba. So we had two sites running the exact same protocols with the same foods being cooked and the same kinds of patients being recruited. So it turns out that our beans in particular have a lipid-lowering effect. They also have a glucose-lowering effect. So even though our patients didn't have diabetes, their glucose has got just a little bit better. So it's not hypoglycemic or anything like that, but it's an indication that their health and their glycemic response is also improved. Interestingly, the peas had a positive effect on lowering people's blood pressure. Again, just a little bit, again, these people weren't hypertensive before they came into the study, but just to the point, again, where you would say that they have an improvement in overall health. So those were our two most exciting findings on the clinical side of things.
So that's really interesting. The beans, does it matter what kind of beans? Mm-hmm. Like, do they have to be navy beans or red beans, that sort of thing?
So we used a combination of four different beans. We used navy beans, pinto beans, black beans, and we used two different types of peas. And so again, it suggests that there might be some interesting slight differences in the ways that pulses work, probably based on the types of fiber that are contained, maybe based on the protein that's contained in those beans and peas. But what it says together is that that mixture, both beans and peas, have the potential to lower a number of different risk factors for cardiovascular disease, so both lipids and blood pressure, and keeps the glucoses in check as well.
How did you measure and keep this controlled in a way? Because I know as a cook myself, well, it's different every time I cook something.
Yeah, very good question. So upstairs in Li Ka-shing, we actually have the Human Nutrition Research Unit, and in that we have a test kitchen. So as I mentioned, the food scientists on the team formulated the soups and stews that we were using, and they had to weigh out all of the ingredients. Then we had to cook the beans and peas to a very specific protocol. So always for exactly the same time, always in exactly the same amount of water, same amount of salt, et cetera, et cetera. Then what we did was we created the base for each of the different, we had five different soups and stews, and then we would add a portion of beans or peas to each of the different portions of the soups. So it was a little bit more than 3/4 cup in each serving, but it works out to Canada's Food Guide recommendations.
How did you actually serve this up? Did people have to come here for their meal, or did they get a little package and they cooked it up at home?
Yeah, so what we did was we cooked the whole thing, and then they got frozen packages, frozen individual servings of their soups. And so then that made it more convenient for them. So participants came in for a baseline visit, and then we'd give them 3 weeks worth of soups. Then they came back for a 3 week visit, and then we gave them 3 more weeks worth of soups. And we had terrific, absolutely terrific adherence to our protocol. And I think, in honesty, people got a little tired of having the same 5 soups every day, 5 days a week for 6 weeks. But certainly it's totally possible to change them up. And I think that's going to be one of the most exciting things, because hopefully from work like this, there's lots of potential. But one thing is the creation of easy and convenient ways to serve soups and stews containing beans and peas to make it easier for people to eat.
What happens now?
Well, there's a whole lot of different options, and we have several irons in the fire. So one is We've always planned to do some more detailed biochemical work. It's called, some of it is actual biochemistry, and then some of it is more on the metabolomic profiling to see how it is that we have the metabolomic profile of the ingredients, so of the beans and peas themselves. Then we have the profiles of the soups and stews that people ate. Then we have people's bloods samples, and we've got people's urine samples, so that we can track markers all the way through, like, the beans, all the way to cooking, all the way to what goes into the bloodstream and gets excreted in the urine. So we've just finished our first pass at some of the metabolomic work. But that's a very powerful tool. So we're interested in that. There's a lot of other things. We have a lot of samples, so we have a lot of interest in exploring those samples more. Maybe there's some other health effects that we may find, other nutrients that changed and may be contributing to our work. There's a lot of interest in the microbiome, and we didn't collect fecal samples from our participants, but I can tell you there's a colleague of mine, Dr. Jens Walters in particular, who's very interested in this work, and we may collaborate with him in the future because he's a microbiome expert, so we may go down that path. And then I was talking with a fellow who's in cardiology, actually. His name is Dr. Ross Tezuki, and he works a lot with pharmacists. And one of the trials that we've just discussed briefly is there a way in a grocery store setting to have pharmacists who now in Alberta, they have a lot of potential for interfacing with the public around drug therapies and so forth. And dietitians very often work in grocery stores as well. And so we've been talking, would it make sense to maybe have a trial where we had pharmacists and dietitians working together so we could combine the power of drugs with the power of foods and food products to see how to best optimize people's health in that setting? So we'll see where we go. I'm not exactly sure what'll get funded first.
You mentioned funding. What role did Alberta Innovates play in this?
We were so fortunate to have what was called a Quality Food for Health grant from Alberta Innovates. They brought together a group of funders that included a number of people, Alberta Innovates being one of them, but also the Alberta Pulse Growers, and they were just so absolutely generous. So they allowed us not only to run our clinical trial, but at one point we really needed to expand our clinical trial. And they also helped to make sure that that got done. Then, of course, they've been the ones that primarily have funded all of the analysis. So, I mean, we would not have done this work had it not been for them. And it's an absolutely outstanding program, that Quality Food for Health one.
Well, this is really interesting, and I'm waiting for that recipe book to come out.
Well, as soon as it's available, I can let you know. But in the meantime, I'd take a look at the Alberta Pulse Growers websites, because they have an absolutely outstanding website with lots and lots of wonderful recipes.
Thank you very much, Rhonda.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.